accession number 29702, Reel 6.
We also knew that General Gallant and his troops were too smart to attack us during this period. Figure, let us take the hazards with the flak. The German fighter generally does not interfere with you from the IP, from the initial point to the point of impact. I think there's some studies that the release of chaff, we would call electronic countermeasures today, had some effect. There was some efficacy here. It was mixed. It depended, remember, upon radar return and atmospheric conditions. Sometimes enhanced our use of chaff. Other times it was a detrimental effect. But I think that's about the only thing we ever really were able to use, Roger, was the chaff in terms of this. But I think that you really did plan on this, General Gallant, did you not? Our maintaining a constant course from the time we went from the IP on into the target.
It is a matter of fact that from the middle part of 44, German occupied territory and Germany itself were changing from all fronts. The troops were coming back, and we got, as a consequence, a bigger concentration of anti-aircraft in Germany, and especially on the wider targets, not on the open towns anymore. And in addition, we built up a certain number, too many, of new anti-aircraft, but also there had a limitation in explosives, which became very rare at the time. One time Hitler told Speer and myself, I order to stop the fighter production, and I want to have everything set over to build anti-aircraft and ammunition. And Speer said, yes, mein Führer, we will do so. And later on he told me, he's crazy. How can you modify the aircraft company to artillery building company? It's absolutely nonsense, and you don't have any explosive anymore. No, I think it has been more or less the concentration of anti-aircraft weapon. The 8.8 was a good weapon. We had the 10.5 also on towards. And we did overcome the electronic countermeasures to a great extent, so that anti-aircraft in 44, up from the middle 44, did play an important role. But if you have said, when you open the bomb doors and you had to stay there, the fighters did not attack, this is not completely the right statement. Because the anti-aircraft had the order not to fire when fighters were in a good attacking position. But they never made a distinction between enemy and friend. I really, at this time, made the statement, if I would have the money our own flak has shot on me, I wouldn't work for the next 10 years after the war.
Well, it's nice to know that it happened on both sides, because I'm sure there are a good many American airmen in this room who wondered whose side the British AK-AK boys were on. We have one more topic of conversation, discussion, before we get to questions, but I will bring in early warning, as we've just discussed flak. I want nobody suggesting during questions that it was the B-24 men who planned the routes for the B-17 men and vice versa over the flak field. That one is definitely out. I could see it coming. To finish on, we have the introduction of the very advanced German weapons, the rocket fighter, the ME-163 and the ME-262. We don't want to say too much about the 262 because I know that the General is going to talk to you tomorrow night. But let me start by going to Cass and asking Cass and perhaps the other two gentlemen along the table to my left, the bomber men, what the 8th Air Force hierarchy thought about the introduction of the jets and the rocket fighter. Were they particularly worried, or did they think at that stage in the war it could have very little influence on the outcome? Cass, would you like to talk about that?
Well, I can only tell you what I heard Jim Doolittle say about it one day. He sensed the fact, or whether he got the information, how he got it, I don't know, but he sensed the fact that the 262 under Hitler's order would be used as very close support for ground troops rather than as a true air-to-air fighter. And he made the statement, if that's the case, we had nothing to worry about with the 262. He said, however, if he changes his mind and uses that as an air-to-air weapon, we'll have our hands full. There was some work done in England to try to develop tactics against the attack of a faster aircraft, and it was believed at that time, and proven later to a degree, at least reasonably well proven, that because of the slippage in the turn of the ME-262, that to keep it turning, eventually, if you were able to stay alive, keep the ME-262 turning and the effect on its turbine, it would be a relatively easy airplane to deal with at that particular time. The British were working, of course, on their own turbine-powered aircraft, and I had been back in, this is an aside, but it has a bearing on it, Roger, in November of 1944, I was sent back to Lockheed to fly the F-80, the P-80 then, actually the YP-80. Which was to be the U.S. Air Force's entrant in the jet war, and with the understanding and the promise that I would get the first P-80 group. I had an opportunity back at then Muroc Dry Lake, now Edwards Air Force Base, to fly not only the Bell, twin Bell, it was 59 before I transitioned into the P-80, and at that time we did a fair amount of air-to-air mock combat with the F-80 and the P-51. We found out the same thing that we found out later on, that in a turning fight, if you could get it turning tight enough, the effect on the turbine, the flow of air through the turbine was such that the turbine-powered aircraft would become an easier aircraft to shoot down than it was in straight-on level flight, of course. Well, all I can tell you about it. What else would you like to know, Roger?
A great deal. But time's running out, and I think perhaps, Richard, did you ever fight in combat jets? Would you like to tell us about your experience?
We, as I mentioned previously, was Lechfeld. We had noticed the ME-262s that were located there. In the southern Germany area, generally, was where we were finding at least the 262s were hopefully, while we were independent of any escort at this time, we were just scouting about, looking for aircraft in the area. We ran across these two ME-262s, and it appeared to me that one was checking the other pilot out. And I had, at that time, a white flight was with me, and when they split, we were at about 15,000 feet, and they were at about 20, and they kept in wide circular turn. And one dropped to about 10,000 feet, and the other stayed at 20, and I was at 15. So I kept in the turn with them, waiting for one or the other to make a move, and obviously he, I assume, was waiting for me to jump the one at the lower level. So I called White Flight to go out as if departing, and then climb back and then take on the 262 above. Well, apparently the 262 above was concentrating on me because Carter, Dale Carter, was the man that was white leader at the time then, shot the 262 down. I split S, roll over my back, straight down to get after the other one below. He straightened out and headed north. I went by 10,000 feet and the airspeed indicator started over. I had hit compressibility and I had then started porpoising and shoved, in order to slow down the air to get control again, I shoved the propeller into low pitch, like shifting at 200 miles an hour to low gear in your car. It wound up to 4,000 RPM, it's redlined at 3. And I was then slowed down enough to regain control. I pulled out with trim tab rather than stick because the waiting for the wings to pull back. And I was then slowing up all this time, but directly behind this 262, and I was at about 550 miles an hour. I fired, and over the top went the tracers. And, of course, he saw the tracers and firewalled it and disappeared. And I was like I was standing still. Subsequently, when I got grouped together with my flight, we headed for Lechfeld and stayed to the east until we could see him coming in. We assumed that he would be short of fuel. I had a K-25 camera in my aircraft, so I went across Lechfeld at about 6,000 feet looking at the guns and taking photographs of about 150 262s nose to tail. If that number's right, it was an eyeball shot at this time, General Gallen. Nose to tail, and either out of fuel, out of pilots, or it appeared that they were not exactly active at that time on the east side of the field. And then I heard Hayden, he's coming in on the north. So we wheeled around, and I tried to call Hayden off because he was about tree level high. His wingman was fence post high. He exclaimed after three straight bursts of VACAC fire, "Shit, I'm on fire." He rolled over after climbing it down to about 500 feet, and I swear all three shells went in the same hole. I mean, it was that good. And I mean that good. VACAC returned fire. His wingman got the 262, and the Hayden landed. His chute popped open, broken ankle, we discovered later. And his EW landed alongside the 262 at Lechfeld, and we proceeded onward. But that was an engagement that I had seen. Any time we attempted to, another engagement was when we were escorting heavies. It was when we first saw the 262 early in, it was about February 45, late January 45. This one 262, always with the speed up, we were chasing him all over the sky, couldn't catch him, couldn't do anything about him, had a set pattern where we would drop tanks and then establish squadrons to chase them and head them off. This man in the 262 shot down four bombers, making a pass, shoot one down, make another pass, shoot another one down, all in wide sweeping turns, keeping his speed up and never engaging in combat, which is an intelligent way to use that aircraft. Certainly with us, because we knew we could dogfight with them and turn within them, get a deflection shot, and it would be easy. But obviously intelligent pilots, they weren't going to lose their speed advantage, which we couldn't do anything about. He shot down four bombers, headed home for new fuel and ammunition. And we didn't do it, couldn't do anything about it.
Well, that's fascinating. The ME-262 talk is at St. Paul Radisson, poolside, at 10 p.m. on Friday after dinner. You've already been told that, but I'll repeat it, because I think I said something rather misleading just now. Well, I'm going to give General Gallen the last word in this symposium, of course, apart from questions. General, can you, obviously you don't want to say too much about the 262, but can you just give us your views briefly on the aircraft, and also the explosive 163, which was even trickier to catch?
Yes, without taking too much in advance from what I want to tell you tomorrow, I would like to make the statement when I told you earlier, we had two opportunities to stop the day of an offensive, then I have to add now the possibility we would have had with the Messerschmitt 262. If all the delays would have been avoided, if the correspondent priority would have been given to the 262 development and construction and training, and if all Messerschmitt 262 would have been flown by experienced fighter pilots against the bomber formation, the losses would have been tremendously. I think, or I guarantee, with 300 262 with experienced pilot in the air, you can easily shoot down 200 four-engine bombers, easily, without many losses. And if you repeat this 2 or 3 days, then the 8th Air Force would have not appeared anymore in daytime and in good weather. And we have made already studies in my staff, what will the 8th Air Force do when we would have this opportunity, success. It had never come to this, and the reason I will explain tomorrow in details. The main reason was that Hitler has ordered to use this aircraft exclusively as a blitz bomber, as he called it, fast bomber, as a dive bomber. He wanted to fight the invasion with this aircraft, which was nonsense. And the impression the 8th Air Force and all the other pilots got from the Messerschmitt 262 when in the air is misleaded by the fact that about four-fifths of all Messerschmitt 262 in the units were flown as fighter bombers without armament, without ammunition, and perhaps without any bomb. So all the possibilities which were given with this advanced aircraft, which could have been available a year ago, did not come to effect, and perhaps it was in our favor and in your favor too. In our favor, in so far as if we would have stopped the 8th Air Force or the 5th Air Force the offensive, this would prolong the war and would have given the Russians more opportunity to enter into German territory. This is my opinion, and I will explain it in more details tomorrow. Thank you very much.